Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. A cooler air mass will continue to make steady progress through the central and eastern portions of our country to spell relief from the recent spell of oppressive heat. Today's heavy thunderstorms across most of the eastern seaboard heralded the arrival of this leading cold front with reinforcing cooler air behind it. Temperatures in the Northeast, including Boston, Albany, the Big Apple, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., will all see lower humidities and temperatures 5 to 15 degrees below normal for the rest of this week. 90s replaced by 70s and overnight lows in the 50s and even upper 40s in some spots. The Deep South is still hot and humid for the next few days, and look for heavy thunderstorms to make their way over the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida as this cold front progresses southward. Some rainfall amounts there could exceed 3 to 5 inches in some spots. We'll peek out west to a shifting monsoon pattern in my next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
My worst wardrobe malfunction. It's so embarrassing. But I used to wear these red leather pants, and I was obsessed with them. I, like, surprised my friend because I was just, he didn't know when I was coming, and I, like, ran up to him and jumped on him like this, and it split, so my pants ripped open, like everything was out. And I had nothing to change into. So my friend was so sweet. She lived down the street, and she's like, just, she's so tall, like nothing would fit me. I'm like, just give me a dress. So I looked like I was wearing a trash bag, basically, to the party. I wrapped a flannel around it and killed it. But yeah, it was really embarrassing. So it was definitely a malfunction.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. I'm getting ready for a guppy show later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you happy to see me? When you're in Florida, the answer is yes. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Marjorie Merriweather Post. This is no country for nice women. This is no country for nice men. One of the horrible things that has happened is that there used to be an axiom in show business, and it went like this. The axiom in show business was, you get to keep your job 1 hour more if you have bad ratings, but you're a nice guy. If you're a nice guy, you get to hang around for like a whole extra hour if you have bad ratings. All that mattered was performance. And maybe it was that way in your job, too. When you're driving a truck, if you get the shipment there on time or a little early, great. If you get it there an hour late or 2 days late, but everybody loves you at the trucking company, does that help? Do you get to keep your job? What happens if you do it twice? Well, everybody likes me. I gave everybody a Christmas gift. I'm really nice to everybody. I have no problems with HR. Yeah, but your shipments are late. And somebody got into your truck, and somebody went through your inventory. There are problems here. You lose your job. If you work at FedEx and you're late and there are boxes left on the truck, you lose your job. But what has happened is that first and foremost, you and I have to be nice at work. You have to get along with the HR lady. The reason that millions of people do not want to go back to work is because they do not want to deal with the HR lady. The joy of working from home is that we have been task-oriented. We have had to show results. There is no other measure. Nobody judges me by how my shoes fit, whether or not they're scuffed, my shirt tucked in, do I have strange tchotchkes on my desk. Nobody judges anybody for that stuff. What they judge you by is, did you do your job? Let me tell you about Marjorie Merriweather Post. Marjorie Merriweather Post built General Foods. What was General Foods? Let me tell you some of the items that she bought to put under the General Foods umbrella. She bought A1 steak sauce, Gray Poupon Bustard, Kraft Mayo, Miracle Whip, very big in the Midwest, terrible though, Capri Sun, Country Time Lemonade, Crystal Light, Sanka, Boca Burger, Calumet, Kraft Dinners, Lunchables. You have to give your kids Lunchables? Oh, my God. Oscar Mayer Bologna, Oscar Mayer Hot Dog, Shake and Bake, Stovetop Stuffing, Cheese Whiz, Cool Whip, Dream Whip. This is the backbone of the American diet. Kraft Singles, Philadelphia Cream Cheese, Polio Cheese, and Jell-O. That's a tiny list of the items that Marjorie Merriweather Post brought into General Foods. She inherited the company 100% from her father. And the Post family was the original owner of Mar-a-Lago in Florida, where the Trumps live now. But it was a private residence. It wasn't a golf club. It wasn't a hotel. This is where the Posts lived. They lived at Mar-a-Lago. And that was one of many, many estates. But who built the estate? Who built the company? Who acquired all of these companies? It was Marjorie Merriweather Post. Now, when Marjorie Merriweather Post went to negotiate and buy, oh, say, Jell-O, do you think those were pleasant conversations? Do you think that she was, your buddy? No, she was ruthless. She was freaking ruthless. Where's Ruth? She did everything that she could do to buy that company from you right on the edge of honesty, right on the edge of getting away with something. And then I started to think about this. Henry Ford, do you think he was a pleasant guy? Yeah, I think Henry Ford was your buddy. Thomas Edison, notoriously terrible guy. The media titans that I have worked with, I can't name one who's a wonderful guy. I worked for years with the greatest television programmer who ever lived, a man named Fred Silverman. Fred was the only person to program the original three networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. I saw him work. I know what he did. God help you if you brought a bad idea to him. I worked for Mel Karmazin at Sirius Satellite Radio. God help you if you brought him an idea he didn't like. You were lunch. You were made into lunch. And then I started thinking it through. Some of the greatest movies ever made were made by the Weinsteins. And Barry Diller. Oh, my God. You know, the guy who started the Fox Television Network. These were not nice guys. They were not nice guys. And if their ratings went down, they were gone. They had no patience for good guys. In fact, the worst insult, I heard more than one of them say, when they were talking about somebody they didn't like, they would say, well, he's a nice man. That was the worst insult they could give somebody. Well, he's a nice man. Like, but here we are. Being pleasant is progressively essential in the workplace. And being pleasant for the sake of being pleasant is the most inefficient thing you can do. Because if you're always pleasant all day and you're keeping your eye on the list of pleasantries and you catch yourself saying things like, hey, you look great today. You don't want to say that. Ooh. If you always have to watch your words, it's exhausting. Because it takes you to the side of your brain where there's no creativity. There's no new ideas. You just have to follow this script from hell. This horrible script where you're going to say what you have to say to get through the day. The reason I don't want to go into a work, into an office again, ever, and I hope you never have to go into a formal workplace again, is because at least when you're at home, you get to sit in front of a computer, a laptop, and you do your work. You can do your work. And you don't have to worry about being artificially pleasant because it distracts from the very necessary ideas. When I think about creative people I know or know of who went into a recording studio to make songs, to make hits, they were pains. They were annoying as hell. They'd hear one little note that was wrong and say, do it again. Burt Bacharach, when he recorded Anyone Who Had a Heart with Cilla Black in England, 23 takes. And back in those days, they were straight through. They didn't have multi-track. They didn't stop to do electronic editing. No, they did 23 straight takes. And he looked at the producer in the control room, and he looked at Cilla, and he'd say, well, I think I want just a little more something. And they'd look at him like he was insane, because he was. And what happens if you are cursed, and it is a curse, if you're cursed with a vision that you want to get something done, and it's new, no one else has ever done it, new idea, new product, no one else has ever done it, it is a burden of from hell to get it done, because a lot of the reason it is necessary to be insanely unpleasant is because no one else has your vision. And if it's if you lack the intellectual capability to explain it and get someone to buy in, I hope we can get everyone to buy into this new idea. If you can't do that, then you got to start yelling, because time's running out. My name's Walter M. Sterling. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. This is a fun show. It's a network radio show, and it's live. Coast to coast, every single radio station that carries Sterling on Sunday, God bless them, carries it live. We can talk at any time. Here's my phone number, 888-688-9258. Coming up tonight, I have an amazing author of a book called Bombshell, not the Fox TV movie. This is Bombshell. It's about the death of Marilyn Monroe from a Los Angeles police detective who had access to secret files about what may have happened the night Marilyn Monroe died. Right. This is a big show. Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. I'm getting ready for a guppy show later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you happy to see me? When you're in Florida, the answer is yes. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
It's August, and that means it's time to pack up the kid to go back to college, to go back to school. And one of the things we always forget to pack is towels. But what they really need most are towels that work. Dormitory towels are scratchy as heck. They're the worst towels in the world, probably not laundered well, unsanitary. And then what's the kid going to do? They're going to raid your linen closet. Do you want the kid raiding your linen closet? No, it's time for the kid to grow up and get her own set of towels. And the best towels are towels that work. And they're from MyPillow. The MyPillow towels are incredible because she can get them in any color she wants. The array of colors is spectacular. And they work. They're absorbent, super absorbent, because they're made from Giza cotton, premium Giza cotton. You used to only be able to get this cotton on expensive dress shirts. Now you can get it in the towel that you give your daughter or son before they go back to school. Like I said, the array of colors is amazing. Go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. And in the middle of the homepage, you'll see a square that says radio offers. There's a picture of Lindell, and it says radio offers. Click on that and put in the name Walter. You will see the prices come down before your eyes. It comes down dramatically to the point where it's perfectly reasonable to give your kid a full set of towels, hand towels, and washcloths in the color of their preference. This is a great back-to-school gift. And yeah, you're right. You need it. Because let's review. Do you want your kid in your linen closet again? No. Do you want your kid having those scratchy, awful dormitory towels? No. Give them their own set of towels. What a great gift to start school. Go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Please enter the promo code Walter so I can afford to send my kids to school.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You and I know that you're not really clean and showered until you've shaved. The best shaving experience I've ever had is with Harry's razors. The reason I say experience is it's far more than a blade and a handle. It includes the shaving cream and body wash that's made for guys. This isn't like stealing your significant other's razor, that pink thing, or shaving cream. No, this is for guys. The whole system's set up for a man. Body wash, shampoo, blades, handle, ergonomic handle. It's a great experience. The blades are the best ever. They're made in a factory that's been making blades for over 100 years. The Harry's people are super fussy, and unlike other companies that make you pay for product improvement, they improve Harry's razors all the time, and they do not pass the extra costs on to you. Go to harrys.com.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again, they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
This is no country for angry women. The tragedy is that the people who get things done, invent, sell, push, are not pleasant people. I can't think of one successful manager, entrepreneur, who was at root nice. They may throw out pleasantries from time to time, such as, yes, I will have the dessert. Or could you get my coat for me? But by and large, these are not nice people. And the reason is they are obsessed with their vision. That is how things get done. They have an obsessive vision. And it causes them physical and emotional pain. I will share with you something I have never shared with you before. For years, I was in executive and consulting positions where I was expected to come up with new ideas and get them done. I was never pleasant about it. I was diabolical and focused, and we had to do it now. It had to get done now, or else it wouldn't get done. People, you and I, are lazy. We don't want to do something new unless there's a direct benefit. What are the direct benefits? We get sex. We get money, we get applause, but it, by and large, to do something new for the sake of something new, if it isn't your idea, it isn't going to happen. That's why when you find yourself at work and the boss says, we're going to do this, and it's different, and it's never been done before, the next day what happens is they become less pleasant. And the day after that, they're less pleasant because you're not doing it, and they know it needs to be done. And they work every day to come up with a way to convince you that this must happen. But if they fail that, they'll start screaming. That's the challenge. Then, because of these trying times, because of the human resources department, what happens is you can't scream. What do you mean they're going to scream? They can't scream. And things stall and stop and go to committee. I can't tell you how many times I've seen perfectly good ideas. Well, you know, we're going to have to review that, run it up the flagpole, see if we can get some buy-in, and we'll review it, we'll send it to focus groups, and we're going to have research on it. No, it's a perfectly good idea. Just do it. Just do it. I spend too much time watching Undercover Boss, the CBS show, where they take a boss out of the office, put a mop on his head, and have him go around and do real work. She goes around, does real work. And if an employee has a really good idea, she'll go, wow, you know, that's a really good idea. We really should do that. And then at the end, when they all get together and everybody's kumbaya, they're all kumbayaing at each other, the boss will say, I'd like you to join a committee. And I'd like you to share your ideas in a committee. And we'll see how much we can get done. A committee? I've been working in this warehouse for 23 years. A gift certificate to TGI Fridays and being on the committee is not going to solve my problem. Why don't we just do it? Everybody is just terrified to just do it. Try it. What's the worst that can happen? It's not Dr. Death. What's the worst that can happen? Nothing. It doesn't work. You go on and you try something else. It's unbelievable. But the problem is that the tolerance for somebody losing their temper, snapping, let's get going, we have to get this done, the tolerance for that behavior in the workplace today is zero. And that means everybody's just going to be nice to each other. And if everybody's just going to be nice to each other, it's Ohio, where nothing gets done. Or they think it's a big deal to change the name of a sports team. It's not a big deal to change the name of a sports team because it's just sports. Coming up tonight in 30 minutes, we're going to have on an amazing retired Los Angeles police detective who claims to have information about who really killed Marilyn Monroe. I'm a believer in the phenomena of psychological dissonance. And psychological dissonance is when information goes into your head and it doesn't make sense. And when it doesn't make sense, it won't settle down. If something isn't true, it can't be filed by your brain. It can't get a label and be put away. It won't settle down. That's why you and I think something happened at the World Trade Center that we don't know. Well, because something isn't true. There's a lie at work. And the reason for 65 years our culture has not settled down on how or when or what Marilyn Monroe died is because something doesn't make sense. And the author of this amazing book called Bombshell has a pretty interesting theory that I look forward to you hearing. And Vic Ferrari, our in-house New York City retired detective, will share that conversation with me and you. This is a live radio show. It's called Sterling on Sunday. It's a great honor to be with you.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The massive high-pressure system located over the Four Corners region, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado, is shifting slightly to the north and east this week, which in turn redirects the monsoonal flow of moisture. California will dry out, no more thunderstorms, and it will warm up too. Look for highs of 110 in Las Vegas, 98 in Sacramento, by Thursday and Friday. And as this moisture gets shunted up to Idaho, up and down the spine of the Rocky Mountains, as well as the southern plates of Texas, Oklahoma, and eastward, look for heavy thunderstorms with associated heavy rains during this week. Air quality alerts remain in effect. Interior Northwest Arizona, Colorado, the upper Midwest, the Tennessee Valley, and South Carolina due to smoke associated with the wildfires over the western North America continent being transported south and east. Fairbanks, Alaska, hey, you're going to be warmer than Albany, New York, with highs near 85 Monday through Thursday. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
Since it debuted to 8 viewers, several media bosses have come to and gone undercover to learn what really goes on within the walls of their media companies. Big, overfunded companies. This is Uncover Boss. Tonight, we follow Joe Flagler, COO of CBS, as he goes undercover to learn the truth about his game show productions.
Now, be sure to put on a wig that looks like a mop from the 50s so that no one recognizes me, and a beard stolen from my kids' Halloween decorations.
At the studio, we are secretly watching Let's Make a Deal for signs of trouble in the control room.
We always believed a show has to be done in 30 minutes. It had to be done to time because you keep up the pace and the momentum, and the audience, and so on.
We are haunted by Monty. No matter where we go, we're haunted by Monty. Now, let's go into the heavily union CBS control room.
Dizzle.
Our systems are so bad. This is supposed to be the control room for Let's Make a Deal. Instead, we are in the Jeopardy control room. Jeopardy is so dull, so I have to suffer. Is there any escape? Worse, the vending machine is empty.
The vending machine only has one bear claw. The bear claw is a deadly food. We give it to the entrance. I'm so miserable here. At ABC, they have free hot and crusty lunches. Here, we have bear claws. And my mother just died, and my brother is in rehab.
Now, the workers will discover that Jim is actually Jim, the CEO of ABC.
I hope we're on Undercover Boss and get cash for cancer.
Sunday on CBS. Sunday nights this fall on CBS.
You watched that show? What happened? It's been on for 10 seasons. Now, I've been alone at home for 1 week. This is one of the greatest gifts possible for a Catholic. It's one of the sacraments. Very few people realize that. But if you're Catholic and you get to be home alone for a week, you've gotten one of the sacraments, marriage, confession, and then home alone for a week. I've watched, 200 episodes of Undercover Boss, 200. However, there are two different versions. There's the first four seasons and then the ones after that. You've seen Undercover Boss. What happens is the boss in a company decides to put on a bad wig and go to remote locations and do odd jobs. Pretty much every type of industry has done, except oddly, no media company. They did DirecTV. I call that a hardware company. They think of themselves as being in show business. It was once run by a brilliant, I mean brilliant guy named Joe Clayton. He was one of the people who started it, but unfortunately Joe passed away. And then he was at Sirius Satellite Radio, and he was the CEO who hired Howard Stern. Let me repeat. Joe Clayton was the CEO who hired Howard Stern. But I digress. So I watch Undercover Boss. And so they take a boss out of his home. They give him a crummy job. They put him in a uniform. And somehow or another, we're supposed to believe that with a camera crew of at least two and several boom mics, that no one in the workplace will suspect anything. All right, now, here's what happened. In the first four seasons, when the boss revealed himself or herself to the employees who he harassed, they sit in his office, and he says, you know what we're going to do? I swear to you, you know what we're going to do for you? It seems like you've had some tough times. We're going to make a $1,000 donation to the ASPCA in memory of your cats, and we're going to give you and your significant other a week's vacation. Oh, thank God, thank God. That's what it was like the first four seasons. And then they'd have a big auditorium filled with all the employees in headquarters, and he'd reveal what a stupid jerk he made of himself. And everybody'd go, hur, 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 good for you, Joe. Hur, hur. In the last seven or eight seasons, it became a different show. Here's what they figured out. They figured out what we liked was the reveal and making the employees who were harassed feel better. We didn't need to see the video of the boss being stupid again, and we didn't need to see 800 people from corporate in an auditorium. They stopped doing that. What they did now, the feel-good has been increased 100%. Now it's as though they're on The Price is Right. The Price is Right. Now it's as though So, you know, you mentioned that you have to get to work on a bus. That's unacceptable. It's horrible. Yeah, you have to get to work on a bus. Here's a brand new car. And they hand him the keys. And your mother's dying of cancer. That's horrible. We're going to build a wing at the hospital for your mother so she won't die of cancer. Yay. And here's $10,000 for you because you actually had to come to work. And here's a $50,000 vacation in the Maldives for you and your eight children. That's what it's like now. James Copeland, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. James Copeland is our brilliant head of production. And he, during the week, he gives tours of a B&B. And the B&B used to be a missile silo. Hello, James.
Hello, Walter. Yes, I am one of the few people in the U.S. Who can say that they live on top of a missile silo.
Now, you were on TV this week. How did that happen?
I was. So we had a TV weatherman from a little station in northwest Arkansas come down, and he and his family actually stayed down here, and they recorded an interview with me and did a tour and everything. And, yes, they aired it this past week on Channel 5 in Springdale, Arkansas.
Was any new information revealed in this TV piece?
Well, they just talked to us, and they would have the guy who built this place, or, you know, actually made it what it is today with the Airbnb. Normally, they would have that guy, GT, on, but he was out of town, so I had to come from the bench and fill in there. So hopefully, my wonderful face will bring so many more people out to Titan Ranch here, not too far from Little Rock, Arkansas.
I would put a link of this video up on my Facebook page, but my Facebook page has been shut down.
Why did it get shut down?
It got shut down 2 weeks ago. I did not even suggest that I thought Trump was a good president. God forbid I do that. And I did not suggest that there was trouble with the COVID shot. I had the shots, the Moderna shots, which I always thought was a type of furniture. Isn't Moderna a type of furniture? I had the Moderna shot. I didn't complain about it. I had a bad reaction to the second one, which was that I got the second shot and I couldn't roll over in bed for about 12 hours. But I had the shots, and there have been no problems since. But they shut down my Facebook account.
I guess that's just what happens. You're getting too influential and powerful, so they put the end to that.
But I haven't been verified. I haven't even been verified.
Blue check.
All right, now, next week on Sterling on Sunday, we're going to talk to the person who owns the missile silo, which came as news to me. I didn't realize that they took the missile silos that had ballistic anti-warcraft missiles, what do they call them again?
So they're intercontinental ballistic missiles. They're meant to go all the way across over the pole and into what was then the Soviet Union.
They shut these down, and they have been turned over to private enterprise. I figured maybe the U.S. government would want to hang on to them, maybe lease them to private enterprise, but no, you can actually buy one. Is that correct?
That is correct. In fact, I think all of them now are privately owned.
Approximately, what does a anti-ballistic missile silo go for?
Well, so, I mean, I'll tell you that we got this place here, this was 11 years ago when the owner bought it, but he bought it for, I think, 90 grand, which was 30 grand more than the price of the empty land.
Wow. Because, you know, the use is limited, but now it's an Airbnb. People can rent it out for a day, a week, a month. How many bedrooms does it have?
So it has one master bedroom that's, you know, super nice and plush. And then on the second level, there's three levels to the launch control center, which is actually where they would have the keys and they would fire the missile. And on the second level, there are two queen-size beds. So it sleeps six, but I will tell you right now, there are currently eight people down there. So that's a family, so they're going to have to figure it out. But there are some couches, I guess, they can crash on. So, but, yeah, officially, we do sleep six.
Would you personally feel spooked sleeping in there?
You know, interestingly enough, I've actually never spent the night down there, but no, that's the weird thing is it's not a scary place at all. But I have been down there, like, when we were doing some electrical work and the power was out in this, like, long tunnel. And you look down there and you can't see the end. It's insanely creepy. It's like 100 times creepier in the dark.
And how booked is it? Like, if I wanted to book a fun vacation in a missile silo, is it difficult to book it? Is it packed?
Oh, it is increasingly busy. In fact, I think in the month of June, we had all but 2 nights booked. So, yeah, it's all the info is on TitanRanch.com and, of course, their Airbnb. But, yeah, we've been really surprised at the response and how many people are wanting to stay here.
How do you spell the website? How do you spell Titan Ranch?
Yeah, it's just Titan, T-I-T-A-N, Ranch, just ranch, like ranch dressing for a lot of you out there, .com. So, yeah, TitanRanch.com.
James Copeland, production director and genius wizard, who also works for an Airbnb at the Titan Ranch, responsible for housing tourists and visitors in a, what do I want to call it, a D what? What do they call it?
The missile silo itself?
Yeah. What do they call it?
Decommission?
Decommission missile silo. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Judy in Dallas, who discovered us from WBAP, programmed by Kevin Graham. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Judy.
Hi. How are you?
Now, Judy, each week, gives us a horrible dad joke. These are jokes that are barely acceptable by an old dad, but Judy is a young woman. Judy, please share with us your bad joke.
Well, what do you get if UPS or if FedEx and UPS merge?
What do you get if UPS and FedEx merge? What do you get, Judy?
Fed up.
What do you get?
Fed up.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, the phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. No, I know she's funny and sweet. I love her. I look forward to the next one. I don't know this week what she said. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. I'm getting ready for a guppy show later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you happy to see me? When you're in Florida, the answer is yes. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
It's a great time of year because we get to buy a few new things to go back to school. Your son, your daughter deserves a few new things. Not too many, a few new things to go back to school. One of them is a set of their own towels. You don't want them sharing their towel with their disgusting roommate. You don't want the scratchy towels from a dormitory. And you don't want them raiding your linen closet. Here's how to give them a great set of towels that includes a washcloth, a hand cloth, and a full-length body towel. You go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and there you will find the towels that are made from Giza cotton. Beautiful, luxury, premium Giza cotton that works. It actually absorbs water. It doesn't keep the water on the top. It absorbs the water immediately, and it's a great luxury feeling. Give that to your kid. Your kid deserves it as a reward for getting out of your house. Go to MyPillow.com. When you go to the homepage, you will see the radio offer square with a picture of Lindell. Click on it. Radio offer square. Click on it. And put in my name, Walter. All the prices will immediately drop. It's kind of sexy and fun to see it happen. You put in my name, Walter, and immediately all the prices drop, including on the incredible Giza cotton towels. Amazing variety of colors, great variety of colors, and when they arrive, they're beautifully packaged. These are quality towels. And they come in a great plastic bag the kid can take to college, and it'll preserve them and keep them in good shape. Go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and select the right colors and the right set of towels for your child. MyPillow.com. Enter the promo code Walter and get the discounts you deserve. MyPillow.com.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
All right, my phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. People get so stupid when they get near the end of life. Just now, the owner of Scholastic Press left $1.2 billion company to his lover and cuts out his two sons and ex-wife in a surprise will after he died suddenly at 84 on a walk in Martha's Vineyard. White enough? And a walk in Martha's Vineyard. He died suddenly at 84. How is that sudden? You're 84. It's a miracle. Congratulations. You got up again. You're probably going to die. Today. It's not a surprise. It's like people who die of an accidental overdose. No, no, what are you doing taking heroin? What do you think's going to happen? Fentanyl, what do you think's going to happen? An accidental overdose. What kind of nonsense is this? No accidental overdose when you're taking illegal street drugs. You're supposed to overdose. Okay, listen to this. The longtime head of the $1.2 billion Scholastic Corporation, M. Richard Robinson, died unexpectedly in June. He left control of the company, which publishes books like Clifford the Big Red Dog, you read that one, you could understand that one, and Magic School Bus, to Lola Lucchesi. Lucchesi is the company's chief strategy officer. Here's her strategy. Listen, Richard, why don't you get a little closer here and eat some shrimp from my hand? Lucchesi is the company's chief strategy officer who had a long-time romantic relationship. Here, Richard, eat some shrimp out of my hand. With Robinson, family members told the Wall Street Journal. The succession plan was outlined in 2018. His ex-wife, who he reportedly became close with during the pandemic, and his children were left out of the will. Family members said they are reviewing their legal options. There was $1.2 billion on the table. If you could leave that to somebody, don't you think you got two kids? The least you could do is maybe leave them $100,000 so they could buy a cool car. You have a wife who lived with you and popped out those two kids, suffered painfully in the maternity ward for hours, maybe days. Don't you think you could have the basic human decency to leave them some money? Instead, he's leaving Lola Lucchesi, the chief strategy officer, wink, wink, of the Scholastic Company, $1.2 billion company. In my opinion, this is a lousy, rotten, disgusting way to behave. And he was stuck in that house because, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. He was stuck in that house for at least a year with his ex-wife. And it seems they got along better, but not good enough to change the will. I'm talking about the Scholastic Press. The Scholastic Press. This is the man who controlled it, owned it, and he left none of the $1.2 billion value of that company to members of his real family. Instead, he left him to the chief strategy officer, Lola. Coming up in just seconds, you and I will talk to the author of Bombshell, with revelations about how Marilyn Monroe might have died.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession, capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. A cooler air mass will continue to make steady progress through the central and eastern portions of our country to spell relief from the recent spell of oppressive heat. Today's heavy thunderstorms across most of the eastern seaboard heralded the arrival of this leading cold front with reinforcing cooler air behind it. temperatures in the Northeast, including Boston, Albany, the Big Apple, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., will all see lower humidities and temperatures 5 to 15 degrees below normal for the rest of this week. 90s replaced by 70s, and overnight lows in the 50s and even upper 40s in some spots. The Deep South is still hot and humid for the next few days, and look for heavy thunderstorms to make their way over the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida as this cold front progresses southward. Some rainfall amounts there could exceed 3 to 5 inches in some spots. We'll peak out west to a shifting monsoon pattern in my next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
When your significant other says that they're going to go to a certain place and they're gone, and in your head you start thinking, wait, that doesn't make sense. And then when they come home, you check their iPhone to see if it doesn't make sense. There's something about our brains that are attuned to things that don't make sense. In my opinion, it made no sense. It makes no sense how the World Trade Center came down. I lived in New York. I'm a New Yorker. I've seen imploding buildings. It looks to me like it was set. All right, that's one of our culture's favorite conspiracy theories. But when something doesn't make sense, when there's a lie at work, our brain cannot calm down. That's why you have trouble going to sleep. If you have trouble going to sleep, I'll tell you exactly how to go to sleep. Just start saying to yourself over and over again the day of the week. Today is Monday. Today is Monday. Today is Monday. Whatever the truth is, it'll put you to sleep. But if there's a lie at work, Heather Locklear loves me, and you keep thinking about that over and over, you will never fall asleep. Our culture has never settled down on the death of Marilyn Monroe. It has never settled down that the incredible beauty queen of the late 50s, early 60s, died the way everybody said she died. First of all, everybody has a different story about how she died, but none of them make sense. And Mike Rothmiller, congratulations for writing a true crime novel that is now number one on the Amazon list in Australia. Mike, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a very big deal. First of all, it's really hard to write a 300-page book. Secondly, it's really hard to research it. But then to get on the Amazon list and to be number one in any category in any actual country like Australia, which is, you know, a country that can read, congratulations to you.
Now, yeah, thank you. I received notice today that it's also a bestseller all through Western Europe now.
Isn't that fantastic? It's a huge achievement. My good friend, Vic Ferrari, who contributes to Sterling on Sunday every week, is joining us in this conversation. And what you and I have is we have number one V8 horsepower in terms of retired police detectives. Vic was a retired police detective. He was Sipowicz in Manhattan. And Mike Rothmiller is a retired police detective in Los Angeles. And I thought the two of them talking about the death of Marilyn Monroe might be a pretty damn good time in radio. So, gentlemen, welcome and thank you very much. I'm going to do everything I can to not let this sound like NPR. Mike, you were working in the Los Angeles Police Department when Marilyn Monroe died. Is that right?
No. I was a teenager when she died. I worked in LAPD from 72 to 83.
How did you have access to the information to write this book?
Well, I worked a number of assignments, vice and as a supervisor and so forth. And then I became a detective and I went into the Organized Crime Intelligence Unit. They asked me to join it, so I did. And it was there that I started seeing what really went on with LAPD intelligence. The unit that I was in actually started in about 1930, was called the Gangster Squad, the Hat Squad, Communist Squad, a number of things through the decades. But what they were doing was gathering intelligence on mobsters throughout the years from in L.A., people that wielded power, That would be politicians, judges, senators, the governor, district attorneys, and several presidents. I saw their intelligence files. But what we were doing and what the division was doing prior to me getting there was accumulating dossiers on people in the same fashion that J. Edgar Hoover was doing it. We didn't make arrests. Now, that's kind of amazing because when I was there, we had 60 detectives working full-time, and all the years I was in there, we never made one arrest because we were prohibited making arrests from the chief of police. He just wanted the intelligence, and he just basically untied our hands, and we could get intelligence in pretty much any way we could. We had guys that were doing wiretaps. We had guys that were doing, well, like FBI black bag jobs, breaking into locations, guys traveling around. I was in Mexico City several times getting information in other locations. So that's kind of the background where it came from. And when I was in there, that unit, I started going through the files, and the files probably had at that time between 40 and 50,000 people they had dossiers on. And I start flipping through the cards, identifying him. One of the first I came across was in the B categories, Mayor Bradley. It was Tom Bradley, was the mayor of Los Angeles at the time, and he was a former L.A. cop, and there's a dossier on him. So out of curiosity, I just kept going through these files when I was new in there, and I came across the Kennedys, and that was the three brothers they had primary dossiers on, John, excuse me, Robert and Edward. They had a huge dossier on their father, and also the dossiers extended out to family members and their associates and so forth. So looking at those dossiers, they were also connected to Peter Lawford and to Marilyn Monroe. So that's how I got into the dossiers, reading them. And when I started reading them, I saw transcripts of wiretaps that were done and so forth, and surveillances and surveillance photos. And I also saw what happened the night that she died and afterwards. And I said, wait a minute, this isn't the story that I've heard all of my life.
All right, hold it right there. Sure. Hold it right there. You're starting to get to the good part, Mike Rothmiller. Mike Rothmiller, Vic Ferrari, when you're going through these dossier files, which is spooky enough, Vic, what would you look for if your eyes are hitting the Kennedys and Marilyn Monroe? What are some of the things your eyes would skim, Vic Ferrari? What would you look for?
Mike, congratulations on the book. I've been in your shoes as an NYPD detective, been assigned to places with sensitive information, and I know what he's talking about, where it's almost like you're Indiana Jones looking through the Ark of the Covenant, you're looking through these files, and you can't believe the stuff you're coming about. It sounds like LAPD was a lot different than the NYPD in that it looks like your department was gathering intelligence on powerful people, like a just-in-case file. Like, they're not doing anything with it, but anybody that seemed to come onto the playing field that was powerful, they seemed to be gathering intelligence. Is that kind of how I'm reading it?
Yeah, exactly. And I'll give you a real quick example. When Jerry Brown was governor of California, the first time I was working intelligence, and when he would come to town, to Los Angeles, Southern California, we'd set up surveillances on him, and we'd surveil him. And also there was a guy working as, if you want to say, an informant for OCID, and he would monitor all the radio transmissions from Jerry Brown's car because there were no cell phones there at that time. There are radio phones, so he would record all the conversations, and he'd turn them over to us. And so that's what I'm talking about. It was a criminal nature.
I mean, was there a court order? I apologize for interrupting you. Did they have a court order wiretap, or were they just kind of fishing?
Oh, no, there were no wiretaps. We could not get any legal wiretaps in California. And the other thing is that we would not, working intelligence, we would not have even tried to get a legal one if you could at the time, because that means there's a document going into court. The one thing the chief of police, they didn't want is anything going in the court, because, and that's why we didn't make arrests, is because then you're subject to subpoena, and a subpoena uses take them for records, and that's the last thing they ever wanted to come out,
right?
The records.
Mike Rothmiller just wrote a very successful book called Bombshell about the death of Marilyn Monroe. And Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, having a real cop bar conversation. You're listening to Sterling on Sunday. When a business says they want to share information about their business on Sterling on Sunday, I say, that would be great, we'd be honored, but you have to offer my listeners something special, a special offer, a special discount, something that they can't get anyplace else. And most companies walk away, but MyPillow said, absolutely, let's do that. MyPillow said, we will give Midnight Misfits something special. And here's how you get it. For example, if you want a six-piece towel set, an incredible six-piece towel set that's made with incredible cotton, making it extremely absorbent, yet providing that soft feel that you look for in a towel. The set comes with two bath towels. Two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically, the price is $109. That would be a good price for the two bath towels. But for a very limited time, you can get this set for the low price of $39.99 with the promo code WALTER. This towel set comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. This is for a limited time only. You get this set for the low price of $39.99, but you must use the promo code WALTER. Let me tell you what's in the set again. Very valuable for your kids. It comes with two bath, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically, they go for $109. Now, they're for $39.99 with the promo code WALTER. Now, you can call them if you're afraid of the internet. You can call 800-844-0878 and say the name WALTER, and you will still get the same prices on these amazing products. What a great gift for going back to school, right? Give your kid soft, genuine cotton towels that are great, not scratchy like the dorm towels. Not only, and imagine the color, and that's the color you can get it in. MyPillow.com.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
When you get Highlands Arthritis Medicine, you get two bottles, a blue bottle and a red bottle. The red bottle is for the day. You take it in the morning. And they're delicious. You take three tablets in the morning. That's what I do. Take three tablets in the morning, and you feel better in the morning. Then at night, when it's time to go to bed, you take the blue bottle, and you take the Highlands Arthritis Medicine before you go to bed, and the aches and pains in my body go away. I did not expect this to work as well as it has. After about 2 or 3 weeks, I said, you know, my thumbs don't hurt. Why don't my thumbs? Oh, it's the Highlands Flexmore Arthritis Medicine. Highlands Flexmore Arthritis Medicine. This is homeopathic medicine. Works with any other prescription drugs you are taking. And the part I like best is I can unscrew the top, no trouble, and there's no damn cotton in there. There's no cotton in there. I can get right to the medicine that I need. Highlands Flexmore Medicine.
Let's go, go. Let's go, go, go with Jukebox Gold.
Now back to America's favorite network radio program, Sterling on Sunday.
Mike Rothmiller has written an amazing book called Bombshell, where he presents his theory, his opinion on how Marilyn Monroe died. And Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, joining the conversation, actually invited Mike Rothmiller to come on with us. Mike, please present to us your theory as to how Marilyn Monroe died, and Vic Ferrari, jump in at any time you have questions.
Okay. Part of it is it's very important to know that, one, I had access to all of the intelligence files that have never been released, and those included surveillances and so forth, how I've already described them. Within those files, I came across a copy of her long-lost diary, which I took notes down at the time, and those appear in the book. Also, a gentleman named Fred Otash was an informant of mine. He was a former L.A. cop turned private eye, and Fred is the gentleman who put the wiretaps on Marilyn's phone and on Peter Lawford's phone, and he also planted bugs in their homes. So Fred, one day he would be doing something criminal, next day he would be doing something legal, but as an informant, he laid out everything that he was doing, and I saw a lot of the transcripts, so I knew he was telling the truth. Then in about 93 or 94, I wrote my first book prior to that, and a guy named Jack Clemens contacted me, and I didn't know who Jack was. Well, Jack was the first cop, he was a sergeant then, to go to Marilyn's house the night she died. And Jack and I became friends, and he said, I'm going to tell you things that I've never told anybody. And so he got into it, what he saw that night and what happened afterwards, how it was he was being pulled into a cover-up. And so when you combine all that, and then the final piece is that in the spring of 82, I ran into Peter Lawford at the Playboy Mansion. And the reason I was up there is because as an intelligence guy, we had access to the mansion. So we'd take people there now and then. And Peter was there, and I started talking to him briefly, and I gave him my card, and he was a bit under the weather from either drugs or alcohol then. But anyway, he called me several days later. Didn't remember talking to me, but he kept asking if I was the CIA. And I said, no, I'm LAPD intelligence. So I convinced him to have a meeting with me. We meet in a park up in Beverly Hills. And as we start to talk, he wanted to know why I was asking him questions. And I said, well, I just want you to clear up some things from the past back in the 60s in Hollywood. And so what I was doing then was testing his memory to see how sharp he was. He wasn't under the influence of alcohol or drugs when I was meeting with him, but he came across as very sharp. His memory was sharp. He knew what he was talking about. And so finally I asked him what happened the night Marilyn died. And he gave me the script that was prepared to him from LAPD intelligence way back then. It was a guy, Captain Hamilton of LAPD intelligence, helped prepare that, the script that he was always speaking. I immediately told him that's not the truth. I said, Peter, you know, I've read the transcripts. I know what was done. I said, and I've also read the transcripts from the wiretaps on your house and on Marilyn's and the bugging. He didn't realize his house was bugged. And that shocked him. And so he was going to just walk away, and I walked up to him. And at that stage, which Vic's probably done this many times, it went from an interview to an interrogation. So I got in his face very quickly, and he sat down again after we had another brief conversation. He just cradled his face in his hands and leaned forward, and he just said, what do you want to know? And I said, Just tell me what happened. Just tell me the truth. And he just broke down. He started to cry, and he just laid it out what happened that night. And his memory was sharp, and I could just see how he was unburdening himself at the time. He was carrying guilt for decades at that stage, and it probably destroyed him and destroyed his life, but he just let it out.
Well, Mike Rothmiller is the author of a book called Bombshell, which is about the death of Marilyn Monroe. And we're joined by Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective. And Mike is going through his impression as to what happened to Marilyn Monroe on the night that she died. He was with the LAPD. He looked at paperwork. He saw files. And now he's talking about an interview he did with Peter Lawford, which was a, tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, and not official interview, not under oath. It was a conversation he agreed to have with you in what sounds like a social situation. Is that right?
Well, it was social, but it turned from social to an interrogation. And he was basically at that stage like a hostile witness. And I finally just broke him down, and
Mike, in fairness to Mr. Lawford, he was not in a police station, right?
No.
And he was not in court.
Right, he's free to go.
He was free to go.
He could have got up and walked away.
Why would he have this conversation with you?
Well, in the beginning, when he called me, before he set it up, he had my card, my business card I gave to him at the Playboy Mansion, and he didn't remember it. And his curiosity got to him, and that's, I think, why he kept asking me if I was the CIA. Why he kept asking that, I have no idea, but he kept asking that. And I think it was curiosity why he wanted to see. He wanted to learn what LAPD intelligence, why we wanted to talk to him after so many years.
Mike, let me ask you, what year was this that you had this conversation with him in the park?
82.
Yeah, so a lot of time had passed. It's probably like like you said, it was on in the back of his mind. And then he went out and he was all drugged up and you gave him his card. And he probably was like, what the hell is this? And he probably had no idea where you were coming from with this. And when you hit him with it, it's probably been weighing on him for so long that it just kind of spilled open.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would never tell him or even some of the mob guys I used to interview. I never told them what I was going to talk to him about when I went face to face. And then we'd chit chat. And then I would start bringing out bits and pieces before I hit him with what I was asking. And that's the same thing I was planning to do with him, and that's exactly how it went. But he just unburdened himself. It was very strange. I've seen it a few times with people in the past when I was interrogating them, and they'd finally just break down and say, okay, here's the truth. Here's what happened on whatever I was investigating.
No,
and they would lay it out, and that's exactly what he did.
You're right. That is human nature. Like if somebody's been carrying around a guilty story for 20 years, Mike Rothmiller, it is entirely possible that he broke down, cried, told you the story. My friends, you have got to get this book about how Marilyn Monroe died. And by the way, gentlemen, as best I can tell, in the late 50s and early 60s, Marilyn Monroe was the only woman in America having sex. This is all anybody talks about with Marilyn Monroe. Like, did any other woman have sex besides Marilyn Monroe? I don't remember her in any movies. She just seemed to have sex all the time. Vic Ferrari, Mike Rothmiller, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Get this book. It's at Amazon, number one bestseller in Australia. It's called Bombshell. It's about who killed Marilyn Monroe. It is the most astonishing story that I have read in a very long time. My name is Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, we have Florida stories for you, which is as bizarre as this story. And we have Velo Hool on how to raise guppies. Ah, my God, it's exciting. Sterling on Sunday.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The massive high-pressure system located over the Four Corners region, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado, is shifting slightly to the north and east this week, which in turn redirects the monsoonal flow of moisture. California will dry out, no more thunderstorms, and it will warm up too. Look for highs of 110 in Las Vegas, 98 in Sacramento, by Thursday and Friday. And as this moisture gets shunted up to Idaho, up and down the spine of the Rocky Mountains, as well as the southern plates of Texas, Oklahoma, and eastward, look for heavy thunderstorms with associated heavy rains during this week. Air quality alerts remain in effect. Interior Northwest Arizona, Colorado, the upper Midwest, the Tennessee Valley, and South Carolina due to smoke associated with the wildfires over the western North America continent being transported south and east. Fairbanks, Alaska, hey, you're going to be warmer than Albany, New York, with highs near 85 Monday through Thursday. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story I'm working on. So as I mentioned earlier, most NYPD precincts are not friendly to rookie cops. For the most part, no one's going to talk to you. The old-timers look at you like you're from outer space. And until you can prove yourself that you know what you're doing and you're not a know-it-all, no one's really going to deal with you. Well, one South Bronx precinct had an old-timer who was a summons guy, and he would ride around by himself in one of those little summons scooters. And he was probably in his mid-50s, and he had jet black dyed hair. He kind of looked like Dracula. Well, anyway, Dracula, every 6 months when new rookies hit the precinct, they didn't know where to get something to eat. They didn't know where anything was. So every morning before roll call, Dracula would come up to the new guys and say, hey, you want me to get you lunch today? Because he knew they were on foot post. So he'd say, all right, give me $5. I'll get you a tuna sub. Who wants a tuna sub? Anybody want a tuna sub? So I just thought he had a cousin or something that owned a deli where he was getting these tuna subs. So anyway, Dracula would collect money from these kids, and they would get dropped off on their foot post, and then he would bring them a tuna sub sandwich. So one day, my partner and I are riding around off the Cross Bronx Expressway, and we see the scooter cop parked off to the side. So we thought he got a flat tire or whatever. We pull up, and on the back of his scooter cart, he's got a 64-ounce jar of mayonnaise, rolls from a deli, and he's making tuna salad on the back of his scooter, and he's slapping it on bread, and he's wrapping it. He had butcher paper. He's wrapping it up, and then he would run around and deliver it to these kids out in the street. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So we went back into the station house, and we told everybody, who had a good laugh over it. And what would happen is, the rookie cops would catch on after a while that this guy wasn't doing this in his best interest out of the goodness of his heart. He was running around making $5 on a sandwich. So after a while, they would tell him to piss off. And then what would happen? 6 months later, a new group of rookies would come in, and he'd start the scam all over again. So that's a story from my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
The great Vic Ferrari. Now, the book that we were talking about is called Bombshell, and it is written by Mike Rothmiller. It is now the number one bestseller in Australia, and it's the number one bestseller through much of Europe, and it's about who killed Marilyn Monroe. Who killed Marilyn Monroe? And he's the first one to present an airtight case. Yes, some of it is his opinion, but you got to read this. And the thing about Marilyn Monroe, I never thought she was much of an actress, neither did you. But as best I can tell, she's the only woman who had sex in the late 50s. All she's ever talked about is sex. And all anybody talks about with her is all of these vaguely disgusting guys or really disgusting guys that had sex with her that she agreed to have sex with. It was a bizarre life this woman had. How old was she when she died? Like 38? I mean, oh my God. So it's pretty fascinating. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Let's talk about the very important topic of Britney Spears. Britney Spears, four times this week, has gone on Twitter nude. Four times she has exposed her breasts, cupped her breast, and shared that with the world. For 10 years or more, her father has said, no, I have to protect the world from her, and I have to protect her from the world. That's why I'm her conservator. And he keeps saying it ain't the money. But as it starts to loosen up, and now four times in 1 week she has exposed her breast, maybe Jamie has a point. Maybe her father has a point. Then when her poor sister says, well, you know, we support you, she gets beaten up. Her sister beats her up, says, you can't do this. You know, remember when the Radio Disney kids got together a few years ago and you sang my songbook? Well, this is coming out 4 years later. There seems to be some trouble here with Britney. However, she did say one thing which tells me she is a world-class mother. Britney Spears said one thing that tells me she is a world-class mother. You know what she said? She was wishing the worst evil on somebody. She was wishing the worst things could happen to somebody. What did she say? I hope you step on Legos. Any parent knows that is the ultimate curse. 2:30 in the morning, you're going to check on the 2-year-old in their room. You step on a Lego, there is no greater pain. Nothing more horrible is going to happen to you than stepping on a Lego in a block. So Britney always knows us. And the dilemma for America about Britney Spears is how we met her. We met Britney Spears in a Catholic schoolgirl outfit, dancing with other girls in Catholic schoolgirl outfits, and she was underage. She knew what she was doing. She knew how to be seductive, and we were seduced. And then when we realized how old she was, and the fact is that she did seduce us, we felt shame. We felt dirty. Well, yeah, it was on TV, so it was legal, but we felt shame. And we have carried that with us ever since. We have tried to work that out of our system ever since. It's pretty deep stuff for a Sunday night, isn't it? You coming back from the lake, the shore, the beach? Did you have a good weekend? Or did you have the headlight of truth shine in your eyes? You know it's coming towards you. You're driving that car right now, but there down the road is a little beacon, and it's getting closer and closer and closer, and boom, you realize the truth. And the truth is that once again, you're with Sid. Once again, you're with Charlie, snoring in the seat next to you. He never drives. Charlie never drives. And you realized when you glanced at him the right way on the beach, this is not the guy you married. This is a fat guy. This is a fat guy you went to the beach with. That's the truth. Or maybe she used to wear bikinis, and now she's wearing a very loose-fitting one-piece with a what skirt. Is there anything more terrifying than your wife in a one-piece and a skirt? This is the beacon of truth that comes to us only on Sunday nights after we've spent a whole weekend with your significant other, your whole weekend, or worse, in my case, worse, my sister-in-law. Because, you see, my sister-in-law controls my marriage. If my sister-in-law buys a new coffee table on a pedestal with a glass top, miraculously, in my living room appears a coffee table on a pedestal with a glass top. I can tell you there's no piece of furniture that I dislike more than a coffee table with a glass top. Do you know why? Because my eye can't reconcile it. Therefore, I always feel that anything I put down on it is about to fall through. Have you had that experience? My phone number is live, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Jake, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Jake.
Hey, I agree with so much of what you say, including the coffee table. I also agree with the fact that Marilyn Monroe, in my opinion, was nothing but a disgrace. I have never, ever, and I'm a hot-blooded Italian, I've never seen the intrigue behind her or the attraction to her or the idolization by other women of her. It's bizarre to me.
That's because today, Jake, many women go to the gym, take care of themselves, and look pretty darn good. They look as good as Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe at the time was surprisingly thin. She dyed her hair blonde. She took care of herself. Most women around her ate meatballs. So Marilyn looked good in a field of average. And she smiled, she waved, and she gave off the illusion of liking sex. Whereas now all women give off the illusion of liking sex until you marry them, Jake.
Amen to that, Walter. That is such a true analogy. And, you know, I try to warn young men. I'm in my 40s, but younger men. And you see the holding of the hands on the boardwalk, and you see the little lovey-dovey stuff. And then what they don't see is, you know, three children later, you're up to your ears, you're maxed out on credit cards, your wife's got a to-do list that never ends. And that's the true love story that most men don't see.
Well, and then there's another thing, Jake, and thank you very much for the call. The other thing most men don't see is they make the worst mistake you can possibly make. They go supermarket shopping with them. They go food shopping with their wives. I was in the supermarket today in Grand Union or Giant Eagle or one of those big supermarkets from 1968. And I see these couples, these married couples, they're going through the aisles. They're a man and a woman, and they're going, do we need more peanuts? Do we need the big jar of Nutella, or can we get away with the small jar? And the guy is going out of his mind. All the guy's thinking is, I want a case of beer. Could we please get a case of beer? No, you don't need any more beer. How many boxes of Jell-O should I buy? We're having a birthday party next week. Do we need a couple boxes of Jell-O? and they argue and they discuss what they're going to buy for food. I have never gone food shopping with my wife, ever. I'm happy to do it. I enjoy doing it. I find it therapeutic. And every time I'm in one of these supermarkets and I pass a guy and a wife in the aisles and they're debating things, I always whisper to the guy, I always go, always shop alone. Always shop alone. And the minute I say it, big smile, big laugh, and then the wife goes, what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? And he just laughs. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. I'm getting ready for a guppy show later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you happy to see me? When you're in Florida, the answer is yes. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
MyPillow.com. I have said to the MyPillow people, if you want to be on my show, you must offer a special price, a special promotion on your products for Midnight Misfits. And they went, oh, okay. And here's what you do. You go to MyPillow.com. In the home page, right in the center of the home page, is a radio offer square with a picture of Mike Lindell. I mean, it's a spectacular color picture of Mike Lindell. You can't believe how incredible his hair looks. You click on that. You put in my name, Walter, 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 and the price will drop $40. Boom. The price will drop right away. It'll go down to $29.98. $29.98 for a MyPillow pillow. There's something about the MyPillow pillow that nobody seems to talk about. You want to know what it is? It only comes to life and becomes your pillow when you decide it should become your pillow. And the way that happens is you throw it in the dryer once for 15 minutes and it comes to life. It expands, it becomes warm, cozy, it becomes your pillow. You don't do it every time. You just do it once, and it brings the pillow to life. Go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and learn about all the incredible products that are much cheaper when you enter the name Walter. Much cheaper. Now, these offers are going to run out soon because, you know, they're going to get scared because I don't know how they do it. I think they're losing money. Look at the towels. Look at the sheets. Look at the mattress topper. These are incredible products, top quality products, beautifully wrapped and shipped fast. Please go to MyPillow.com.
Wear your hearing things. Wear your hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Thank you so much. For our first Florida story, we're going down to Miami, but I just want to pull out like sort of a meta observation here. There's a lot going on with Florida and invasive species. You keep hearing these stories over and over on Florida Stories over the last 3.5 years. And it's weird with the pythons, with the wild monkeys. And today's invasive species is called a penis snake. And I'm not making fun of the story because it has a funny name. I mean, it does kind of look like a male appendage, but not really a whole lot more so than all snakes. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, oh, this is the old Typhlonectis compressiculata. No, common mistake. This one's actually the Typhlonectis natans. Yeah, I have no idea what that means either. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
So our first Florida story was in Miami. For this one, we're going all the way to the opposite end of both the Florida geography and the Florida spectrum. We're going from the hyper-exotic tropical wilds of Miami all the way to the tip of the panhandle, where if you roll your window down and listen, you can hear banjos disappearing into the background. There's a popular Irish pub downtown called O'Reilly's, and a man at the bar was talking to a couple next to him, talking about his new gun. He pulled it out to show them. Oh, they were wildly impressed. And then he did a motion where it's like he was going to tuck it into one of those over-the-shoulder holsters, like Riggins from Lethal Weapon. And the idiot accidentally shot himself. Bullet went right through his torso. But Florida man is a robust breed. He drives himself to the hospital, checks himself in. He's going to be fine. Stay tuned Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, my number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. One of the interesting things I learned by watching Undercover Boss and by watching Below Deck. First, let's talk about Undercover Boss, because I've been alone at home for a week, and therefore I watched over 200 episodes of Undercover Boss, the show where the boss puts on a bad wig, puts on a bad mustache, and goes and scrubs pans in his company. Some of these bosses, sometimes they learned that there were problems in their company, and then they go to fix them. And most of the bosses are impressive, decisive, and well-edited. But sometimes you see a boss where you go, how did this person get to be the boss? Because it isn't that they acted poorly on the situation. It's that they're idiots, that they don't seem to be engaged. There are some people in these jobs who never did any of the jobs in their company. I'm like, well, how can you do this? For example, I'll give you an example about how you should do it. The reason that communications people take communications in college is not because they're going to be doing the jobs. It's so that they have the experience of having done the jobs in college so they can manage people doing the job. That's why you take communications in college. But some of these people, like, there was one woman who owned a massage company. Where you go, you get a massage. She had never given anybody a massage. She had started the company. And she goes to the shop. She has hundreds of shops. She had never given anyone a massage. The chief product or innovation officer at Subway, he had never made a Subway sandwich. He had never made a sandwich. And I'm like, how can you do this? Like, why would you expose yourself that way? And by the way, they call them sandwich artists at Subway, sandwich artists. I learned a lot from that, from Undercover Boss. It was very interesting. But the show I learned the most from is Below Deck Mediterranean. Below Deck Mediterranean is on Bravo. It's where Australian high school dropouts work for a couple weeks on a ship in the Mediterranean. And we're talking an insane ship, you know, like an $80 million ship. And they work on these ships for like an hour. They speak with a thick Australian accent. They're very horny with each other. Their uniforms are too tight, which probably affects their thinking. And the captain pays very little attention to anything that goes on. We never actually see the captains being captain. I think we saw the woman captain, Captain Sandy, dock a boat once. I think that's the only time. The rest of time, I've never seen any of them actually be a captain, but they are the real captains. I check that out because I do show prep. Do you understand that? I do show prep. All right, let's you and I talk. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, we celebrate Midnight Misfits on Sterling on Sunday.
Was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. A cooler air mass will continue to make steady progress through the central and eastern portions of our country to spell relief from the recent spell of oppressive heat. Today's heavy thunderstorms across most of the eastern seaboard heralded the arrival of this leading cold front with reinforcing cooler air behind it. Temperatures in the northeast, including Boston, Albany, the Big Apple, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., will all see lower humidities and temperatures 5 to 15 degrees below normal for the rest of this week. 90s replaced by 70s, and overnight lows in the 50s and even upper 40s in some spots. The Deep South is still hot and humid for the next few days, and look for heavy thunderstorms to make their way over the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida as this cold front progresses southward. Some rainfall amounts there could exceed 3 to 5 inches in some spots. We'll peak out west to a shifting monsoon pattern in my next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where a woman stops to get gas, and when she goes inside, while she's waiting in line, you know how they try and sell you a million different things right there at the counter. Well, in the pile of junk was some masks, and some of them had a swastika on it. It was the Nazi Iron Eagle with a little swastika under it. And she said, "I can't believe you're selling these." And the guy at the counter's like, "Lady, I just work here." So the lady calls the cops. The cops show up. They're like, "We really can't do anything about this. I mean, it's disgusting and wrong, but not illegal." So she calls the news, and the news comes out there.
Do you have any idea what this symbol is?
No.
You don't know what a swastika is?
No, I have no idea. Trust me, I have no idea.
Nazi Germany killing the Jews?
No.
If I would have known that was a bad thing, I wouldn't have sold it in front of my store. Anybody buy that? I'm skeptical this guy's never heard of a swastika before. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Jacksonville, where at the zoo, a Florida man got clawed by a jaguar when he stuck his arm in the jaguar pen. It really is that simple. I mean, there's no weird Florida twist on it other than that. Yeah, idiot, you stick your hand into the jaguar pen. What do you think's going to happen? He was trying to pet it, and it clawed him. That's it. Sometimes it can be stupid and simple at the same time. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, we're going right off the beach of St. Augustine, Florida. I've reported on this guy in years past. This Florida man's bit, he has this bubble-like vessel that he plans to take from Florida to Bermuda or Florida to New York, or I think he was going to New York this time. And he says he does it to raise money for charity, but no one can figure out what the heck he's talking about. No one's donating money to this dude. He just goes out and gets lost after a few days, and the Coast Guard has to come pick him up. And this is his thing. He keeps doing this over and over. He invented some Florida man bubble boat. And when you're that special kind of crazy, you're definitely going to make it on Florida Stories over and over and over. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
It's a live late-night show. It's called Sterling on Sunday, and Debbie in Pittsburgh, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Well, thank you. Nice to talk to you again.
Yes.
I just got home from work, turned on the radio. Were you talking about either Greeks or Greece when I turned on the radio, or was I mistaken?
What was I saying?
See, I'm not sure. I thought I heard you talk either about Greece, the country, or Greeks as a nationality.
So growing up, I went to a very she-she summer camp, very she-she, private school, all this stuff. And I was very public, public school. I was the public school scholarship kid. And one day when we were going to camp, I was very upset. I said to my father, I was like, "Dad, everybody goes to these fancy places when summer is over. They go to St. Bart's, they go to St. Tropez." I was like, "We go to Jones Beach, Dorney Park if we're lucky, you know, a two-door Ford Explorer from 1991. One of the doors doesn't open, the windows you have to slap down, the radio was stolen, and the engine you have to disconnect every time you park it," type of beat. And he was like, "Listen, don't stress. This is what you tell them. You tell these kids you go on vacation in the Isles of Christides. This is Christides, a supermarket chain in New York." He said, "These kids, they'll never know it's a supermarket because they don't go to supermarkets. Just tell them you'll be in the Isles." And so that's what I did.
Joe in Long Beach, California. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Joe. Joe, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Well, thanks anyway, Joe. I appreciate the call. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I must say hi to Rosemary Furlong and to Neil Paul and Judy Anderson, some of my favorite Midnight Misfits. You may wonder, what is this Midnight Misfit nonsense about, Walter? I will tell you. It's very simple. It would have to be simple for me to do it. If you go to waltersterlingshow.com, that's my webpage, Walter Sterling Show, you'll see a tab there that says Diet Coke. No, just kidding. You'll see a tab there that says Midnight Misfits. Click that. Fill out your name and your email, and you'll be able to instantly download your Midnight Misfit membership card. And on it, it spells out exactly what qualifies you to be a Midnight Misfit, exactly what you must do to fulfill your obligations as a Midnight Misfit, and a decoder card. Because from time to time, more often than not, I give out secret messages that can only be decoded with the Midnight Misfit membership card, available for sponsorship. That's right, available for sponsorship. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. I get a lot of inquiries about how do you become a sponsor on Sterling on Sunday? How do you share information about your business on this network live show? There's nothing else on at this time. The Bitcoin show isn't going to take your sponsorship. Here's what you do. There is, under the contact section of the website, you can find information about Mike Doucette. Mike Doucette runs our agency of record. Our agency of record. And they'll be happy to talk to you. In fact, they'll be thrilled to talk to you about sharing your information about your business on Sterling on Sunday. All right, it's 14 past the hour. My number is 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday. It's August, and that means it's time to pack up the kid to go back to college, to go back to school. And one of the things we always forget to pack is towels. But what they really need most are towels that work. Dormitory towels are scratchy as heck. They're the worst towels in the world, probably not laundered well, unsanitary. And then what's the kid going to do? They're going to raid your linen closet. Do you want the kid raiding your linen closet? No, it's time for the kid to grow up and get her own set of towels. And the best towels are towels that work. And they're from MyPillow. The MyPillow towels are incredible because she can get them in any color she wants. The array of colors is spectacular. And they work. They're absorbent, super absorbent, because they're made from Giza cotton, premium Giza cotton. You used to only be able to get this cotton on expensive dress shirts. Now you can get it in the towel that you give your daughter or son before they go back to school. Like I said, the array of colors is amazing. Go to MyPillow.com, and in the middle of the homepage, you'll see a square that says radio offers. There's a picture of Lindell, and it says radio offers. Click on that and put in the name Walter. You will see the prices come down before your eyes. It comes down dramatically to the point where it's perfectly reasonable to give your kid a full set of towels, hand towels, and washcloths in the color of their preference. This is a great back-to-school gift. And yeah, you're right. You need it. Because let's review. Do you want your kid in your linen closet again? No. Do you want your kid having those scratchy, awful dormitory towels? No. Give them their own set of towels. What a great gift to start school. Go to MyPillow.com. Please enter the promo code Walter so I can afford to send my kids to school.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Taking a shower is supposed to be fun and relaxing, not the way it was when you were in college, but still it can be fun and relaxing. And one of the ways for that to happen is with a terrific shave. I use Harry's razors. Harry's razors comes as a system, as a kit. You get an ergonomic handle meant to be used in the shower. I don't know what those other companies think they're doing with those nasty, right edge, scruffy blade. I don't know what that is. But the Harry's blades use a handle that's made to be held in the shower using a silicone base. It won't slip. The blades themselves are made in a 100-year-old Swedish factory. These are remarkable blades, and I have never had a shaving experience like this. When I use a Harry's razor, it feels great. Unlike anything I've ever used, no other blade that I've ever used is like this. You gotta try it. Go to Harry's.com, and I swear you will thank me for buying a Harry's razor.
Love fish but never make it at home? Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced wild-caught seafood right to your door. Choose from a variety of salmon and whitefishes. Each shipment contains perfectly portioned cuts of delicious seafood, so it's ready to prepare and easy to cook. Our seafood is always caught and processed in the USA, plus 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Get $15 off your first box at wildalaskancompany.com/talk. wildalaskancompany.com/talk for $15 off. Love fish but never make it at home? Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced wild-caught seafood right to your door. Choose from a variety of salmon and whitefishes. Each shipment contains perfectly portioned cuts of delicious seafood, so it's ready to prepare and easy to cook. Our seafood is always caught and processed in the USA, plus 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Get $15 off your first box at wildalaskancompany.com/talk. wildalaskancompany.com/talk for $15 off.
Sterling on Sunday. Pay no attention to the noises in the background.
I have been home for 1 week alone with three cats. And let me tell you some of the things I didn't do. I did no laundry. In 1 week, I did absolutely no laundry. My current wife left my closet stocked, folded. Everything looks great. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's spectacular. And I'll hear about the fact that I didn't thank her 100 times when I realized it, but I didn't. I'm sorry. However, I did do something that took my life in my hands. We moved to our current house 6 months ago. And because we moved, we had to move the old-fashioned way. We had to fill the boxes ourselves, and we had to unpack them ourselves. And my daughters are 9, 16, and 18, which means they're very busy. They have a lot of other things to do. And my wife has some physical limitations. She has hypermobile joints and arthritis. It's hard for her to do all the things she wants to do. She's not lazy. She's very ambitious. She's very sharp. She wants to do things. I, on the other hand, am very lazy. I don't want to do anything. I want to watch TV. I want food brought to me. And then I want to watch more TV. That's what I want to do. And then prepare this spectacular radio show for you. However, when we move into a house, unlike your house, we don't have help. Therefore, it is glacial when the boxes will be unpacked. And because I'm in show business, there's no spare money. There's nobody to hire, even for, you know, $100 a day to come in and help my wife unpack the boxes. And if I say to my daughters, listen, you got to help mom do this, it is not going to happen. They're well-meaning, they're very sweet, they're very pretty, but it's not going to happen. Well, I'm sitting in this mess. Oh, I didn't finish the story. The end of the story is it's a nice house. Each of them has their own room because I think that's very important. I don't think, if you can afford it, I don't think kids should share a room because it's not the Lower East Side in New York in the turn of the century. And therefore, they each have their own room. However, when the movers moved the boxes in, the boxes sat on the floor and have stayed on the floor ever since. I have done something very, very risky in terms of my relationship with my family. I mean, insanely risky. I've got two rules for my kids, which is I am not to do their laundry. These are women, mind you. I am not to do their laundry. And I'm not to throw anything away. My wife has the same rules. Do not do my laundry. Don't do them because you know what I do? I'll put the bra in the dryer. There is no greater fashion crime than to put the bra in the dryer. Men don't know how to do bras. Men don't know how to undo bras. Therefore, laundering the bras is a very risky dynamic. Don't do the laundry. Don't put the bras in the dryer. Anything rubberized, don't put in the dryer. I got it. And don't throw anything away because no matter what I throw away, it'll be the single most important document they have ever owned. Those are the rules. However, both of their rooms were stacked halfway up to the ceiling with boxes. and every piece of clothes that my 16-year-old owns was on the floor. Now, she has the attic. She's got the sweetest deal in the world. My 16-year-old has her own bathroom. It's like a Hyatt suite. She has her own bathroom. She has her own bedroom. Wait for it. And she has a room for the hamster and the guinea pig. The guinea pig and the hamster have their own room. And they have a sofa in there. That's her art room. That's where she does art. And she's a great artist. I'm delighted she has it. However, it's a mess. The bathroom was, every square inch of the floor of her bathroom was covered with clothes. Every square inch. And then her bedroom, same thing. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, well, I can't throw anything away, and I'm not allowed to launder. All right, then I go to the 18-year-old's room, and same thing. There must be 10 boxes. These are big moving boxes. Moving boxes all through the room. To go from the door of the room to the closet in the room was an adventure, an alpine adventure. And then my 9-year-old, she has a very sweet room, but again, nothing's been unpacked. And she has a bed that was not made. I don't mean sheets put on it and pillows. I mean, the bed hasn't been made. There's the frame of the bed. There's the box spring. There's the mattress. And we bought her a new mattress, still in the box, one of those annoying mattresses that you have to, that gets folded up, rolled up before you get it. You know, when I was a kid, we went to Coos. We went to H. Coos on Route 22 in Jersey, and it was the box, the mattress was already in existence. It didn't need to come to life. And the box spring, you had to have a box spring. What happened to box springs? Why aren't there box springs anymore? I want answers. All right. So what I did is I have taken my life in my hands. I have not laundered one thing, nothing. All week the laundry has not been going, even though I do the show from the laundry room. I have not thrown out one thing in their room. However, each of their rooms is now immaculate. The hallway is immaculate. The top floor of the house is immaculate. There are no clothes on the floor. There are no clothes on the floor of the top floor. There are no clothes in the bathroom on the top floor. And you can actually walk from the door of my 18-year-old's room to the closet. You can walk it without tripping over anything. And I did some smart things. See if you think this is smart. Like the table next to the 18-year-old's bed and her desk, I haven't touched a thing on that. Not a thing. And I just moved boxes around so there was a clear path to wherever she might want to go. And she'd have access to the boxes, enabling her to unpack what she wanted, go back to college with some things, no problem. The hallway at the top of the stairs looked like a hoarder's house. I don't know how it got this way, but a ton of stuff was just dumped at the top of the stairs in a random, scary, hoarder fashion. That's not there anymore. And that will be the first thing they see, that pile of crap is not there anymore. Now, I have to stress, there was nothing unsanitary going on. There was no food garbage anywhere. But it was a mess. It was a dump. Here's what's going to happen. When my three daughters and my current wife come home tomorrow, they're going to see it. What did you throw away? Where did you touch this? Where did you put this? And I'll say to them, it's all there. Where'd you put it? Where is it? Now, mind you, they couldn't find anything on their own when they were home a week ago because everything was piled on top of each other. Everything was in just move-in condition, like just moved-in condition. I'm telling you, they're going to go insane, even though I have done a bold and noble and wonderful thing. How would you react to that? What would you say to them if for 6 months they were living in storage? They were living in storage rooms and they weren't moving anything. They weren't doing anything. I took matters into my own hands. In a house full of women, the worst thing a man can do is take matters into his own hands. But that's what I did. I made an executive decision. The risk is high. The risk is really high. And, But let me repeat, I threw away nothing, and I did not launder their bras. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. It's 27 past the hour, and I am obligated by law, federal law, to tell you that I have a podcast. Now, I have to start pumping this, because now our entire livelihood is dependent on podcasts. There are talk show hosts who do very lazy podcasts. You know what they do? They get a production assistant to cut up their show, to edit up their show, and they put it into a, to put it into a 10 to 20 minute form. And then they say, here's my podcast. Well, that's not a podcast. That's a recording of your show put into short form. That's all that is. It's lazy. It's embarrassingly lazy. With 3 million podcasts on Apple iTunes, 3 million podcasts, I could not insult you with an edited-up version of my incredibly powerful and important radio show. If you want to hear any one of my shows, they're posted. They're Walter Sterling Show. You can hear the whole show, not edited up. This will be posted on Tuesday. You can hear the whole show. My podcast is between 10 and 20 minutes long, and it has nothing to do with the show. It's a completely different storyline. I say things on the podcast that I would never say on the air, like weenie. In the podcast, I'll say weenie, and people will go, woo. But you got to be tricky. You got to be careful if you're me or any broadcaster, what you do in the podcast. People have lost their jobs over what they say in podcasts, which is stupid. Because no one listens to podcasts, but they do. It's stupid. Everybody's so sensitive. They're just all so sensitive. Oh, my God. All right, what have we got? We have the usual edition coming up, and we'll have Velo Hul with his Guppy Report. This is the only network radio show with a fish report. You know that, don't you? And I'm going to share with you something that humbles me. Sometimes you run into an artist where you go, how the heck did that happen? I'll share that with you coming up in seconds. What else have we got? Oh, yeah, we can talk on the phone. And the number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
You get no commercials.
Actually, you do, but not for a few more minutes. Back to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The massive high-pressure system located over the Four Corners region, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado, is shifting slightly to the north and east this week, which in turn redirects the monsoonal flow of moisture. California will dry out, no more thunderstorms, and it will warm up too. Look for highs of 110 in Las Vegas, 98 in Sacramento, by Thursday and Friday. And as this moisture gets shunted up to Idaho, up and down the spine of the Rocky Mountains, as well as the southern plates of Texas, Oklahoma, and eastward, look for heavy thunderstorms with associated heavy rains during this week. Air quality alerts remain in effect. Interior northwest Arizona, Colorado, the upper Midwest, the Tennessee Valley, and South Carolina due to smoke associated with the wildfires over the western North America continent being transported south and east. Fairbanks, Alaska, hey, you're going to be warmer than Albany, New York, with highs near 85 Monday through Thursday. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
This is the usual edition, special edition. We are visiting America's shopping malls to witness death firsthand. Leading our Supreme coverage, welcome Rachel Goldstein Shabazz.
I often visit the mall. I lust for bourbon chicken and green smoothies, but no one else wants to do those things. For report, we go to Blind Jim, who is avoiding kinetic sand carts. Jim, welcome.
There is so much to avoid in a mall. Pretzels, smoothies, and cheap jewelry. Know your gold. Here's fresh audio.
So this one is like a fully hit two-tone Datejust with the Roman dial compared to this one right here. Roman dial, diamond bezel, but not hit.
Same watch.
Same watch.
What's the price difference?
So something like this would run close to about like $8,500. Something like this one could be close to about $11,000 to $12,000.
I have nightmares about kinetic sand.
This special edition of The Usual Edition is Mall Things Considered. We are made possible by the Mall Architects of America. Their phones are deader than Art Garfunkel's. And now, music from a holding cell. Please enjoy our house band, alt-rock sensation, Sitting on Stacy.
And I can't find my place in this world. How I'm supposed to
gone to be Sitting on Stacy website. There's no Sitting on Stacy website. And I filled it out and I said, hi, we play you on our show every single week. Would somebody get in touch with me? Because I would love to interview their lead singer. I'd love to talk to Sitting on Stacy. This is the first band I've seen in years where I'm like, okay, their music's great and they're funny as hell. The lead singer picked his number two in the band. There are three people in the band. He picked the second guy because he saw him performing and he was wearing a dress. He's like, well, he's wearing a dress. I got to have him. Like, these are cool guys. Sitting on Stacy in San Diego. In San Diego. Well, I'm Walter M. Sterling, and it's time for a Sterling Snap. You know, I've been meaning to do it. I haven't done it in weeks, and I apologize. I love getting Sterling Snaps. Here's what you do. Look at what you're looking at, take a picture of it, and send it to me at WalterMSterling@gmail.com. 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 Send it to me, and I'll post it on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling. I used to post it on Facebook, but they threw me off Facebook, which I now know is a badge of honor. I believe there are certain artists, and this is true through history, there are musicians, artists, writers, and it takes time for culture to catch up with them. They're so ahead of the curve that it takes time for the rest of us to catch up with them and to appreciate them and to understand what they did. And one of them is Laura Nyro. Laura Nyro was a songwriter in the 60s and 70s, and you know her songs because they were sung by Barbara Streisand, they were sung by The Fifth Dimension. Sung by those popular artists, they were easy to appreciate, listen to in your car, turn up the radio loud. But if you hear Laura sing her songs, it's a different thing.
Save the children, save
was 1969. She was 21 years old on the Kraft Music Hall. And coming up in seconds, I'll share some thoughts about Laura Nyro, one of the great misfits of our time. A remarkable woman, but she did not fit in. Just now, our culture, our society is catching up with her. This is Sterling on Sunday. It's a great time of year because we get to buy a few new things to go back to school. Your son, your daughter deserves a few new things. Not too many, a few new things to go back to school. One of them is a set of their own towels. You don't want them sharing their towel with their disgusting roommate. You don't want the scratchy towels from a dormitory. And you don't want them raiding your linen closet. Here's how to give them a great set of towels that includes a washcloth, a hand cloth, and a full-length body towel. You go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and there you will find the towels that are made from Giza cotton. Beautiful, luxury, premium Giza cotton that works. It actually absorbs water. It doesn't keep the water on the top. It absorbs the water immediately, and it's a great luxury feeling. Give that to your kid. Your kid deserves it as a reward for getting out of your house. Go to MyPillow.com. When you go to the homepage, you will see the radio offer square with a picture of Lindell. Click on it. Radio offer square. Click on it. And put in my name, Walter. All the prices will immediately drop. It's kind of sexy and fun to see it happen. You put in my name, Walter, and immediately all the prices drop, including on the incredible Giza cotton towels. Amazing variety of colors. Great variety of colors, and when they arrive, they're beautifully packaged. These are quality towels, and they come in a great plastic bag the kid can take to college, and it'll preserve them and keep them in good shape. Go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and select the right colors and the right set of towels for your child. MyPillow.com, enter the promo code Walter, and get the discounts you deserve. MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music too is heard by the very best listeners, and we mean you.
You've heard of horse shows or dog shows, cat shows, rabbit shows, but did you know there are fish shows? All sorts of different fish shows throughout the country. In the International Fancy Guppy Association, they're starting their show season. A year off because of the Rona, now people are shipping their fish to special places, and I'm getting ready because I'm going to be driving early in September to beautiful St. Louis, where I'm going to display some of my guppies for competition. What do they look for in competition? Well, with my swordtail guppies, they will look for the longest sword and the long dorsal fin and the coloration and all that sort of stuff. Then sometimes they have categories for best female. Yes, sort of like modeling. Does she have the right curves? Is her tail hanging out there right? Does she have a pretty face? They want to know. And on the males, they have a competition where you put three males together in the same aquarium and they have to look identical to each other. Now you say, okay, they're red guppies. They all look the same. It's not that easy. The tail has to be the same length. It has to be the same width. The dorsal has to be the same on each fish and the color must be exactly the same. From Maine to La Jolla to my living room, this is Sterling on Sunday Fishing Report. I'm Deadliest Catcher, Velo Hool.
That's too funny. They put three males in an aquarium and they must look identical. That's the beauty contest. That is too funny. All right, Sterling Snap Time. Take a look at what you're looking at. What a genius statement. Take a look at what you're looking at. Take a picture of it. Email it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I will send it out via Twitter this week. I used to post it on Facebook, but as a badge of honor, my Facebook account has been canceled. Cancel culture. It's all gone. Somehow I'm relieved because I was getting pretty tired of working for them. And then I want to thank Sue for the Sterling Snap and Kathleen H. for the Sterling Snap and Robert S., who says, glad your family returns. Your show is wonderful. Moving is a new beginning. Your family should be pleased with what I have done for them. Yes, they should be. And then my friend in the 913 area code, whose name I looked up, he says, Walter, some Sundays I could just choke you. We know, you know, we can afford to watch TV if we want to. So why the hell do you tell us about it? And his point is, I shouldn't be promoting TV. Oh, now, what did Neil Paul send us? What did you send us, Neil? Let's see. I just got a picture from Neil. You will always be prepared for the future, but never forget what you've learned in the past. Is that a fortune cookie? Is that what you got? All right, let's talk about Laura. Laura Nero wrote an amazing catalog of songs from the age of 16 to 24. Major hits by The Fifth Dimension and Barbra Streisand and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. She gave them number one songs while she was going to high school in Harlem. She went to high school in Harlem. Then at 24, she decided that she was done. She had gotten a big contract from Columbia Records. They gave her tons of money, and she was done. She decided to lead a quiet life. She got married, moved to Connecticut, had a son, and that was her life. Then at various times, she'd come out of hiding, and she finally got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by, of all people, Bette Midler in the 60s. But here's the thing. Laura was ahead of her time. The way she sang, the way she structured her songs, the pace of her songs, the chords, blew away Elton John. Elton John will talk on and on about Laura Nero because he viewed her as a true revolutionary. What she did was remarkable. Taken by pop artists like The Fifth Dimension, her songs were totally acceptable, palatable, and on top 40 stations, and it made her rich. But the way she sang never made a hit. The highest she ever got, she sang Up on a Roof, which she did not write, and that got to number 99 for 1 week. That was it. It's a beautiful rendition. She sang Up on the Roof, and it was number 99 for a week. But here's the thing you got to remember. I have been stuck with this phrase my whole life. My whole life I have been stuck with, well, you know, that idea is ahead of its time. That's ahead of its time. Laura Nero's life was ahead of its time, except that it wasn't. Laura Nero's life was right on time because her music writing and her singing and her artistry compelled all of the artists of her time to do what they did. Ricky Lee Jones, Judy Collins, Janis Ian, they all did what they did because of her. And they were right on time. Everybody said, yes, sign here. Everybody said to them, here, sign here. Now, David Geffen immediately saw what Laura Nero was, a star, a genius, and he got her a lot of money. So Laura did not suffer. Maybe you've been told in your life that that idea you have is ahead of its time. It's a good idea, but it's ahead of its time. I can't tell you how many times in my life in radio, the industry that's always behind the times, how many times in my life I've been told, well, you know, that's ahead of its time. How can a good idea be ahead of its time? It has never made a lick of sense to me when people say, well, you know, that format idea you have or that show you want to do or it's not ahead of its time. If you believe in a day at a time, if you believe that a higher power has a plan, then whatever idea you come up with today is exactly on time. It's when it's supposed to happen. Because you're not going to have that idea 10 years from now. And what Laura Nero did when she was 24, she said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go to the woods of Connecticut, make a baby, and I'm going to go away. And she did. She I don't think she ever wrote another hit. All of her hits came from the age of 15 to 24. Then the muse left her, or she fired the muse. Maybe she fired her muse. That's it. Go away. But I don't want you to ever think, never be burdened with the insane thought that the idea you have is ahead of its time. The idea you have needs a patent. The idea that you have needs a copyright and a trademark and a champion. And you have to be the champion. If you can't find somebody to run with your idea and make it happen, you have to do it. Because you owe it to that idea to polish it, praise it, write it up, turn it into a PowerPoint, and take it to every door you can. Because that's the gift you've been given. When you're given an idea, an original idea, you have to run with it. You have to run with it. I'm just sitting here thinking of all the ideas that I've had that I've been assured are way ahead of its time. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. I have a podcast. It's called Midnight Misfits. Please download it, save it, give it to your children. What else have I got? I always want to be in touch with you. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every single email I get gets answered. And please remember that the greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.